WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Chase Blaine with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, Chase Blaine?
I did indeed.
Good Thanksgiving at the Spillane House?
Yeah. Well, it was nice. We went to, my aunt lives up in Lunenburg, which is like beyond Lemonster.
Where is Lunenburg? That's in that western part of the state.
It's in like the western, central, northern, like, are you New Hampshire? No, not quite, but you feel like it.
Kind yeah.
of. It's cool. It's got lots of lakes. It was a very like idyllic scene.
Yeah, it's nice out there, but then you're like, you know, I think there's people playing banjos in the woods around here, and I want to go.
Yeah, I was listening closely for a...
Yeah, I was well off the beaten path in New Hampshire a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, I don't know where we're going here, or why any of this is happening.
Is this where Molly took me to die?
Yeah. I don't know why any of these buttons are doing what they're doing. I got the...
silly buttons.
Yeah. I got the gravy right.
I know. You were telling me. Like, that is, I mean...
Finally. For those of you who've been following my gravy misadventures, this is only the second year that I got the gravy right. Not only did I get it right, but my sister said, this tastes exactly like the gravy Mom used to make. So I got the gravy really right. And that's a big win.
I was gonna say, when you compare it to, like... Saying it's like a like saying anything is like Mom used to make.
Yeah.
That's the dude, you nailed this of the cooking.
I was like, all right, big score.
And unless your mom was a terrible cook, but usually you wouldn't bring that up if that was the case.
Yeah, no, my mom was a great cook. My mom was, you know, she like read all these French cookbooks and made amazing meals, like meals that you would pay good money to go eat in a restaurant.
That yeah.
So. Getting that compliment was like,
Was she a Julia Child prodigy?
More than that. I mean,
Gourmet
Magazine. She read about all the French chefs and studied their recipes and came up with some really, really good stuff. I'm still trying to get my hands on her spaghetti sauce recipe, which is some of the best spaghetti sauce I've ever had in my life. So
that's what, do you know what's funny? My mom was telling the story recently. So my dad growing up always had, his mom always made spaghetti sauce. Like, apparently. That's what I'm told. But so my mom, when we were kids, like, she'd make spaghetti. She would always make homemade spaghetti sauce, no matter what. And I remember, like, it wasn't until I went to college, and I'm grocery shopping with my friend, and she, like, grabs a jar of Prego, and I was like, people don't use that.
Yeah.
She was like, what are you talking about? Everyone uses this. I'm like, ew. I had no idea that I was a spaghetti sauce snob.
Yeah, my wife is all about the Prego, and it's, you know... It's not bad. You know, I can deal with the jar sauce, but it's nowhere near as good as, you know, making the sauce. I don't have time. It's like everything else. Like, what? Yeah, I got a couple hours to set aside on a weekend in between blowing the leaves and shoveling the snow and putting the house back together and paying bills and everything else I got to do on a Saturday to go make sauce.
Yeah.
You know? And Sunday's out because I'm going to a football game.
It is a very set it and forget it type of thing, though. Like, my mom taught me how to make it.
You
got to
stir that
mom,
stuff.
Mom, if you're listening, I still really don't remember. You're going to have to show me again. Well, you do have to stir it, but it's like you chop everything up, you put it in, and then you just let it all make out with each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it has a good time in there, and deliciousness results. So... Those are good things. Anyway, what do we got? I don't know what the schedule is going to be for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, because we are very, the holidays this year, it's always like Christmas and New Year's is on the same day of the week. And
right.
This year, it's,
well,
your favorite night of radio.
I can tell you part of it. I can tell you that Christmas night, I am going to be here. And I'm going to dig out a few records from my collection, which are meant to be played on Christmas Day. They were recorded for the Veterans Administration, and they were played in VA hospitals on Christmas Day for all of the Vietnam soldiers who were in the hospital instead of home with their families. And they are remarkable documents, and it's a little extra poignant when you get a chance to actually play them on Christmas.
Extra poignant. Well, I will be I will be in the Berkshires on Christmas. So I can make my family listen to you do that.
If you want to, you know. But it's basically like if you want to chill out and have a nice, you know, silent night for a couple hours, listen to something interesting and fun.
I was going to say, I think my siblings would actually probably be into that.
I'm coming in. I'm tossing those beasts on. We will not be here on New Year's Day. Okay. Yep. It's not, no, not happening. I'm having dinner with my family that night. But for the next 2 weeks, one of the upcoming two shows is going to be the Christmas Battle between Chris Earl and I.
Oh, that is my favorite show of the year.
I don't know.
Mostly because I get to make both of you feel bad about yourself.
I don't know
I mean, why pass up that opportunity?
I don't know which week yet. I don't know if it's going to be next week or if it's going to be in 2 weeks. I think it's going to be in 2 weeks.
I feel like 2 weeks is a... 2 weeks feels... more right.
I have a text in to Chris Earl to get that time and that date.
I love how it's like we're working for like very like the government or like very sense. I have a text in.
Yes.
We're just waiting for the reply.
Well, Chris,
and then we'll have a better estimate on what the future looks like.
Yes.
You guys competing with Christmas.
Chris did not want to pit his surgically repaired knee against the ice, and I don't blame him for that because it's still healing. So
he rocks those crutches though. He's quite mobile on the crutch.
I'm still healing from my knee thing, although it's gotten a heck of a lot better. I'm still like I'm super careful on this ice.
You know, it's funny. Last night, I performed at this random event with Lenny Clark and Tony V, and it reminded me of long ago when a guy that I was dating had come to one of my shows and seen how I interact with those guys. And as we were leaving, he said, this is something that you just brought to my mind. He said, so does it ever strike you as weird that you're friends with so many men like 20 years older than you? and I'm sitting here being like, two of my friends are worried about slipping on the ice because of their bum knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
This you're not 20 years older than me, though. You're what, like 9?
Yeah.
11-y?
Yeah. No, I'm like 5 years older than you are because I'm still 35. So there we go.
That's 2 years older than me, D.
Oh, okay. I thought
actually, I'm still 30.
Yeah,
so
you're
sure.
Still 30. I'm 35.
I like 30. I'm just going to hang out there for a while.
And here we go. Yeah. So what do we got happening locally, Shay Spillane?
Well, in local news, I'm very interested to get your take on this, Derek.
I hate it.
Can I read the story before you decide?
Sure. But I'm just, you know...
Just getting ready to hate it.
'Tis the season to hate everything, so that's where I'm at.
La 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 la. Town councilors say that they want the Attorney General's Office of Weymouth to advise them about their options for forcing the owner of a controversial digital board on Route 3 to take the structure down and halt plans to build a second one further down south on the highway. This is according to the Patriot Ledger. The town council on Monday night voted to send a letter to the Attorney General's office seeking input on the glowing digital billboard, which has been fiercely opposed by nearby neighbors. Council President Michael Smart also said that he will look into whether the council can legally hire its own attorney to explore the town's options in getting out of the billboard agreement that the town entered with Cove Outdoor LLC. The town solicitor, that's a tough word, has said that it would cost the town at least $13.8 million to pay Cove Outdoor LLC to remove the existing billboard and abandon plans for the second one that has already been permitted. Now, residents of Century and Kipling Roads, which are around this area, said the billboard was built without proper notification and oversight from the town and has affected both their property values and their quality of life. It was turned off at night starting in April after residents complained, and then it was completely off for several months starting in August, but the company turned it on back on last week, just basically saying, like, we paid for this.
They had this
you
thing running
to this.
24 hours a day in a residential area?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, here's... like
you want my take on it?
Yeah.
Someone should go over with a sledgehammer and take the thing out.
And just take it into their own hands?
Yeah.
Well, here's my thing, though. Like, okay, first of all, this is a grave mistake by the government for not doing an environmental impact report before. putting up a because billboard's one thing, but those things are, I mean, they look like casinos.
Yeah.
But that being said, these people do live right next to the highway. It's like you, when you, and places next to the highway are cheaper than the exact same house in the exact same town a mile away from the highway.
Right, because it's next to the highway.
Yeah, and so I feel like this is a really tricky one, just because by buying a house next to the highway, I mean, you have to think of all that could entail. There could be a drunk driving crash at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know?
But that's not every day, and the billboard is on every day.
That's true. There's a difference there. Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. But that's the thing is, I think that this is they ran the risk of something like this moving there. But ultimately, the town of Weymouth should have. I mean, I can't believe that they ever let this pass without an environmental impact study.
Well, how did they let this pass without soliciting input from the neighborhood is another question. And I think the neighbors are on a good legal ground to challenge it on that basis, saying, look, you didn't do an environmental study.
Yeah.
There was no public hearings involving this. We never got a chance to find out what was going on. We wake up, we wake up in the middle of the night because there's some billboard flashing outside of our window.
Yeah.
Well, how does that happen?
Well, and I mean, it's such a pickle too, because $13.8 million, that's what they would have to pay this company to remove it. And
yeah.
Well, because it's not just about the current billboard. They've already made plans for a second one,
right?
Which is going to be, that's the other thing, is planned for across the highway.
Yeah.
So same street, just on the other side. So
neighbors on the opposite side get lit up now.
Yeah. And there's another one planned for further down Route 3. And for those of you, I mean, I know a lot of our listenership is on the North Shore, but Route 3 is our, like, it's our Route 1. It's like, it's not even, because it's a highway. It's like our main drag. It's if you ever go to the Cape, that's, you're taking Route 3.
Yeah.
It's a great place for a billboard, but it is. I mean, I've been to people's, there are houses next to Route 3.
Here's a problem. I keep hearing over and over again about how there's a climate crisis. And about how carbon emissions and energy use are destroying our planet. And then people go out and put up giant television screens where there used to be plain paper billboards.
I think about that all the time. I remember the first time that occurred to me. It was when everyone first really, really started getting hardcore about climate change. And it was when I lived in Italy, which was 2009. And I remember they're obsessed with soccer there, obviously. Sorry, football. But I remember watching a game with somebody, and I'm looking, and the entire, like, the separator that separates, like, the first row from the field, the entire thing is light up signs. And
yeah.
I was like, if those were plastic or paper or something, I would still be able to see them just as well, because the whole stadium is lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But that's always bothered me about, I get that it catches your eye a little bit more and it's easier to see at night, but I mean, I can still, like, the paper ones on Route 93 North with three small spotlights lighting them up, I can see those just fine.
Yeah, like, exactly. And I don't know what the energy consumption is between one of those and one of these 12-foot diagonal or 15-foot diagonal TV screens, but I gotta imagine that they're sucking more energy than a light bulb.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, even just the fact that it is, like, that the buyout for this, like, to make it go away is that much money, tells you how much energy, before you even turn it on,
yeah,
how much energy goes into constructing one of these things.
I got some issues with that dollar value too. I think they're
exaggerating to try to,
I think they're piling some future earnings onto that from the billboard to try and get that number.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. I think you're right.
I know the giant TV screen is expensive. I don't think it's $13.8 million expensive. And this is, every time I see one of these things, I'm like, why is that there? Okay. Either we have a climate crisis or we don't. If we do, then no more digital billboards, no more stop signs with flashing lights on them, because there's no need to electrify a stop sign. No more crosswalk signs with flashing lights on them, because there's no need to electrify a crosswalk sign. No more flashing lights in the crosswalks, because there's no need to illuminate. Every time you turn around, they're putting lights on things that did not used to have lights on them. And then the government turns around and says, oh, it's a climate crisis. Well, it's one or the other. And this is some pretty obvious hypocrisy that surrounds us every single day. Okay? So either we're all going to die, but it will be a well-illuminated death, or we're not going to die, and we can just keep slapping lights all over everything. And I know they're using LEDs. I know they're more energy efficient, but there is... But when you take something that never had a light on it ever at all...
Yeah. And that suddenly is using it has to have a light on it.
And now suddenly it's got 15 lights on it. That's using more energy than we used to use.
Yeah.
And we don't need it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to think about it in simple terms. Okay. I know none of us have ever stood next to you, like stood on so that we're touching a billboard. But...
Well, maybe you haven't.
La-dee-da, Derek.
You know, some of us find our ways into interesting places. Some of us are Chase Blaine.
To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised. Let's try to... See, now that I don't drink anymore, it's really hard for me to remember drunken memories.
Yeah.
It's like how when people study for a test stoned, they have to be stoned to take the test.
Yeah.
I was going to say, have I been on the billboard? But neither here nor there. If you think about the size of a billboard, think about that's probably, I don't know, 100 TVs, like 100 people watching TV in their home.
Yeah.
Like that... And I might be being like generous with that, with like the lowness of that number.
This would be my advice to the folks down there in Weymouth. Go get that information. Go find out how much energy these digital billboards use.
Because then you'll get environmentalists behind you.
Yeah,
like you'll get organizations behind you. It won't just be neighbors being cranky.
And no one in the industry is talking about that. I've raised that question because I've bought billboards, and I've raised that question, and they're like,
I don't really. No,
it's okay.
Maybe we should look into that.
It's okay.
But you still want it, right?
Yeah. That's the answer. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about that. Well, let's see some numbers. Okay? Let's see how much energy one of these giant TVs uses compared to the ones that had the old fluorescent lights on them, compared to the ones that have no lights on them.
Yeah.
I know the one with no lights on it
is going to use zero energy.
Zero carbon emissions once it's up. Now, yes, there's some carbon emissions when you're making the wallpaper, because that's basically what they were. Is like,
it's literally
a giant wallpaper.
I've watched people put them up before.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to watch, actually.
That was a skill that those guys had. Now, we got giant TV screens everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, why, what, is there a climate crisis or no?
I was going to say, and looking at the, like you said, like, yeah, it takes energy to put the wallpaper ones up. But again, like comparing that to the amount that it takes to construct a 80 foot wide TV screen.
It can't be as bad as running a TV 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And again, I know it's LED. I know it's Diamond Vision, but look, it's using energy. How much energy is that thing using? That's what you want to find out down there in Weymouth.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm looking at my laptop right now thinking like this is probably one bulb of like 1,000 bulbs in that thing.
Yeah.
And I have a MacBook Air, by the way. So I have the tiniest laptop that you can get. I like it though. It's so light.
Yeah. They're pixels. And there's a lot of pixels. I don't know how many pixels are in one of those billboards, but there's a lot of them.
A buttload. Let's just say a buttload. That's a generally accurate.
I would imagine there is an electrical hazard somewhere.
Paints the proper picture.
You know, somewhere if you open a door on that billboard, you can get fried if you touch the wrong thing because there's so much juice flowing to it. Okay. If we have a climate crisis, why are we putting up more digital billboards? Do we need digital billboards? No, we do not. We do not. They serve no meaningful purpose in our lives.
No.
We could get rid of all of the billboards tomorrow and life would go on. Advertisers would just have to put more pop-up ads on our websites. Okay?
And that will take up the exact same amount of energy.
Yeah. But this is what I want to know. Is how much energy are these things burning? Because I personally am opposed to them.
And you're correct that is the ace in the hole for these people that want to get it taken down.
Yeah.
Is saying, hey, you know those people that never shut up about the world ending?
Yeah.
We're going to just have them wrestle on and maybe they'll start a giant protest on the steps of town hall. That'd be fun.
Greta Thunberg and some climate people to throw paint on it.
She has the best stink eye. whenever I'm in a bad mood, I just look at that picture looking of her looking at Trump.
if you
the best dink eye anyone's ever giving.
If you have not seen it, this thing has caused a major stir over in Europe. They love it. This year's John Lewis Christmas commercial. You want to watch that. But then there is a parody of the commercial with Greta Thunberg and Donald Trump's heads placed on top of the main characters in the commercial, and it is freaking hilarious. It is one of the funniest things I have ever seen. Highly recommend it. Just look up the John Lewis 2019 commercial on YouTube. You'll find it.
I'm very excited to watch this. And I love how in Europe they call them adverts.
Yes. Well, that's a UK thing that they call them adverts.
Adverts.
In other local news involving bad ideas, from CBS Boston, this happened just before Thanksgiving. Brookline Town Meeting. Brookline, they're the California of Massachusetts.
Yep.
Brookline Town Meeting approves lowering the voting age to 16.
What?
Shea Spillane, 16. The town of Brookline.
That is such a stupid idea.
The town of Brookline is seeking approval from the state to lower the voting age to 16. The decision was approved by 142-71 vote in a town meeting Thursday night. That tells me that one-third of the people living in Brookline have not lost their minds, and it's time for you to move.
What?
Okay?
What are the grounds? Like, do they have reasoning as to why that? I mean, I was an idiot when I was 16. I mean, I was an idiot when I was 18.
Quote, "These elections directly impact these young people," said board member Raul Fernandez, who was in favor of the idea. "It would allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote in municipal elections and make them eligible to become a town meeting member if they were registered. Because what you need is more 16-year-olds in town meeting."
They're just trying to kiss ass because they know that millennials are going to be the ones running everything when they need someone to take care of them. So that they think, oh, they're going to look back to remember when we were 16 and they gave us the right to vote. That was so nice of them. We should figure out a way for them to still get Social Security even though it's run out.
Quote, "At the age of 16, they can start working and paying taxes on that work," said Fernandez. "There's no reason why these young people should not have a say in our politics, and actually giving them a say in our politics will make us even better." Actually, yeah, there's a really good reason why 16-year-olds should not have a say in our politics.
By that reasoning, we should, that's the same as the reasoning of, oh, we should lower the drinking age to 18 because if you're young enough to fight for your country and vote, you should be old enough to fight for your country and vote. You should be old enough to drink. They tried that once. I remember my dad told me about it. It didn't go well.
No, it didn't go well at all. It did not go well at all.
And I don't think this is going to either.
They did give 18-year-olds the vote, and that's more than fine. You know.
I'm saying like there's a reason these weren't just numbers that people tossed out there. You know, like there was a lot of thought put into, okay, what is the age when perhaps you might maybe be mature enough to do this? And even 18, I mean, when I was 18, I was excited to vote for pot to be legalized.
Right.
Like, and don't get me wrong, I still, even though I don't smoke pot anymore, like I still am very yeah about that issue. But it's like, that was like the reason I registered to vote. Whereas now, you know, now I actually know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, keep in mind,
when I'm using that little marker thing, I know why I'm using the little marker thing.
Keep in mind, you know, during Vietnam, and I mean, this had been going on in America for, you know, a few generations at this point. You've got the draft. You're 18 years old. You've got no say in it. You're going to war. You're getting shot at on a foreign battlefield. And you have no say whatsoever over who's the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of the hippie movement.
Yeah.
You know, people think that the hippies were just anti-war and, you know, let's all love and hug each other. No, the hippies were fighting for the right to vote.
Yeah.
Because their conclusion, and their conclusion was correct, was if you are going to tell me that I have to go die for my country, I want a say in who's in charge.
Yeah. If you... a really good way to learn about this, if you don't know much, there's a great book called Steal This Book by Abby Hoffman.
Abby Hoffman. I met Abby.
Oh, that's awesome. I've done like 5 reports on that guy.
I met Abby. Abby was cool.
But
met his son.
He, America?
Yeah.
He named his son America. That's how cool this guy is.
And his son is still, well, when I met him 20 years ago, his son was still driving the van.
So really?
The van is still around somewhere.
But so Abbie Hoffman started the Yippie movement, and that was exactly, they were a form of hippie, but with exactly what Derek's talking about, where they were, I mean, all hippies were politically charged. They were the ones saying, yeah, this is what hippies, like, we're going to show you exactly why everyone's having sit-ins and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they would do, like, outrageous things. Like, if you've never heard of Abbie Hoffman, but you've seen the movie Forrest Gump, because everyone has, the guy with the big curly hair and the American flag t-shirt in the scene where there's, like, hundreds of thousands of people in front of the Lincoln Memorial, that guy screaming, Abbie Hoffman's
that's
that
Abbie
dude.
Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's, but yeah, definitely steal this book. We'll explain that. Don't actually, you can steal it if you want, but Barnes & Noble's really cracking down.
Quote, I think we need to be older and maybe in college, and when you start thinking independently, to vote with care, and so we know what we're voting on, said one 17-year-old girl at Brookline High School.
Oh, look, a smart 17-year-old girl. There's one.
Even some of the kids get it.
A smart one said, hey, we're not smart enough yet. Well, that's, I was going to say, that's the other thing I was thinking of, is like,
Wait for it.
Oh, God.
But her twin sister disagreed.
Someone was stealing all the nutrients in that uterus.
I feel like people don't give teens enough credit for what they know. We actually love watching lots of news, she said.
No, they don't.
It gets better.
No, they don't. They like watching viral news.
It gets better. It's legit. Full of people who are going to change stuff in your school, in your town. It's very much close to home. And if we have younger voters, maybe we will have better turnouts. The news, it's legit.
Watch the news, kids. I want to scream, but I don't want to hurt our listeners'
ears.
The
news is lit, is what this young woman is saying. It's lit.
Oh, my God. Like, totally.
You know what else is lit? Voting. Voting is so lit.
Oh, my God. Like, I heard that back in the 90s, there was, like, a president that played the saxophone. I would, like, totally vote for a president that played that.
Now, in this scenario, can you guess which one of these two girls is going to be giving the other one money for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, you can.
Well, that was the thing I was thinking about it, because I remember...
it's legit.
I remember it was 2004 when I turned 18, when I could vote.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, I was a freshman in college for my first presidential election. And I was in intro to politics, and I remember even then being like, should I even vote? I'm only in intro to politics right now. I really don't know anything. Like, I'm going to, like, it's like when one kid studies really hard and messes up the curve, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but the opposite, because I knew nothing. But that's, I mean, 18, I feel like, is being generous with, okay, we think you're ready to have an impact with this.
Right, but, you know, you've got to go back to the draft.
No.
Well, and the war.
That's what I'm saying, I think it makes sense in that right, absolutely. And I'm not saying 18 is too young. 16 is too young. Like, yeah. 18 is where we're like, okay, maybe, yeah, they're starting to get it. 16, you're focused on the SATs and getting your license.
18,
like, you're not reading the news, you know? Like,
18-year-olds, and for that matter, a good number of 35-year-olds, are not versed in the finer points of property taxes and Social Security, okay? And,
nor do they want to be.
No, and that's just the way it goes. 16-year-olds are not versed in anything other than school and how to get into a good college or play sports or whatever it is that they're doing. Okay, they're not invested in the broader community.
Yeah,
and they are probably going to leave the broader community when they turn 18. So you know what? You can tough it out for a couple of years, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to, like, all the ballot questions that I've ever encountered. The only one that I can see a 16-year-old having a really well-informed opinion on is when I lived in the San Fernando Valley in California, and they were voting whether or not to make porn actors start wearing condoms in porn. That, I think, a 16-year-old could very informedly weigh in on.
But you shouldn't even know what porn is at the age of 16.
Oh, come on. The internet exists. Kids know what, especially dudes, know what porn is at the age of 12.
Yes, but legally they can't access it. There's that thing that says, are you 18? And you have to leave once that thing comes up.
Yeah, totally.
You do. You're supposed to leave. Are you? No, you're supposed to leave.
Yeah, just like when I wanted to go on
it's
beer
websites. It's on the honor system, Shay.
I was going to say, just like when I wanted to go on beer websites when I was 15, I was suddenly born in 1980.
Well, see, now, you know, here's another problem with the young people. They lie and they pretend to be older than they are. Look, Brookline, you do you. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It really is a bad idea.
And we're going to watch it play out and giggle having predicted that.
You know, when you have that statue of Justin Bieber erected in front of Town Hall, you'll understand why this was a bad idea.
Well, and do you know what this is making me think of? Did you ever watch the show Parks and Recreation?
No.
So,
and I know that makes me a bad person.
It does make you a bad person, but we'll talk about that later.
I watched a couple of episodes of it, but I was never that blown away by it. There was like, oh my God, it's Thursday. Parks and Rec is on. I got to get in front of the TV.
It grows on you.
It was more like, where is the football? You know?
Oh God, you're annoying.
There's football on Thursdays.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the one with the weird shape ball, right?
Yeah.
Well, on Parks and Recreation, there's one of the characters that ends up marrying, spoiler alert, but whatever, it's the show ended like 10 years ago, maybe five, whatever. One of the characters who the main character ends up marrying, he ran for mayor of his small town in Minnesota when he was 18 years old and won. And then, like, he talks about it's like the great shame of his youth, because what ends up happening, he said, like, he, even when he tells the story, he says, and I got impeached because 18-year-olds are stupid and shouldn't run a government, and I made the city go bankrupt by trying to build a winter sports complex called Ice Town. And see, you would like this show. Yeah. But like that, the minute you said that, that was the first thing to pop into my mind. It was just like there shouldn't be an 18-year-old mayor, there should not be 16-year-olds voting. Just for exact reasons like that, is that like the, and not saying that there aren't some informed 16-year-olds. There absolutely are.
Yeah.
But by and large, that is not like, that is not what your main focus of I should know a lot about this is. Like I said, like when I was 16, I was studying for the SATs and studying for my driver's test. And that's great. That's important. That's what you should be doing when you're 16. You shouldn't be reading about Social Security.
I guarantee you, I could walk into Brookline High tomorrow and I could pull out a dozen 16-year-olds who could discuss the issues intelligently and thoughtfully and with a lot of introspection. And I could probably find three or four that could hold their own against you and I in a debate. Okay?
Then
they're out there.
The rest would have no idea what the hell they were.
I could also find 200 that are like, I like ice cream. You know? And it's like, that's great. I like ice cream too, you know?
Canada's president's really hot. Have you ever seen him?
Yeah. The new Star Wars movie's coming out. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I like this.
I could probably also find like a dozen that, you know, we could discuss Pokemon Go in great depth. But,
and that is when I would exit. Oh, God. Yeah. I'm not going to Tavern tonight after this just because I can't deal with you and PJ anymore.
I don't even know if PJ's going to be there.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going because I'm tired. Anyway. I stayed out till 1 a.m. last night. I'm an old lady. In national news, this is very interesting. Chicago police said yesterday that, I'm going to let you take the other one. Chicago police said yesterday that 53 people are in custody as part of Operation Facebooked, a two-year operation to infiltrate secret groups selling drugs and guns on Facebook. This is from NBC News Chicago. Interim Superintendent Charlie Beck announced the mass arrest at a news conference yesterday and took aim at Facebook's privacy policies, which he said facilitated this practice. According to First Deputy Superintendent Anthony Riccio, the investigation began in December 2017 when an informant told police drugs and weapons were regularly sold on these private groups on Facebook. The private groups are unsearchable, effectively making them invisible to anyone that isn't invited in. 65 people were targeted and identified in the operation, and of those, 53 are in custody and two have active arrest warrants as a result of the investigation. Police recovered 7 weapons, which is 4 handguns, 2 shotguns, and a high-powered rifle, totaling a worth of about $4,100, and 23 types of narcotics. Not 23 pounds or did it like 23 types, different kinds of narcotics.
Do we get a breakdown of the types of narcotics? Because I'm curious.
I mean, name one, I imagine.
Yeah?
How many? I didn't even know there were 23 narcotics now. I mean, I guess if you count like prescription stuff.
Well, there's always some chemist whipping something new.
That's true.
Out there.
I remember Molly came out when my like drug days were dying down and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But the 23 narcotics total a worth of $105,000.
That's not a lot of narcs.
That's still, but for if you're selling stuff on Facebook, this isn't.
So what you're telling.
This is, this, I gather that this is almost like a, this isn't people moving kilos. This is like,
right.
This is people saying, hey, oh, but what, do you want an ounce?
But what you're telling me, so how long was the Chicago police involved in this?
2 years.
So they spent 2 years to pick up 65 people who were selling like $100,000 in drugs.
But
meanwhile,
no. But here's the thing: they were in possession of that.
Okay. Meanwhile,
you don't know that they don't have all these little running around. That
meanwhile,
are in no way.
There's another dozen shootings on the South Side, and the Crips and the Bloods are in open war with each other, and MS-13 is probably trying to gain some turf. I mean, what?
I'm going to look at my seltzer right now, Derek. I'm going to guess you're going to say it's half empty.
Yeah. No, what I'm going to say is that there are better uses of police resources. I don't believe that these are the kind of hardened gang members that we need to be taking off the street. If they're selling on Facebook, they're probably
nerds.
Trying to avoid any kind of entanglements.
I don't either, but one has to think about, okay, the type of people who would be, honestly, it's, as much as it sounds counterintuitive, the narcotics, I'm kind of like, eh. It's the guns that, you think about it, they're selling them on Facebook. Who are the type of people that would buy guns
on
Facebook?
True. Okay.
A potential school shooter,
yeah.
A potential mall shooter.
No, the gang members who are shooting each other are the ones buying the guns.
Yeah, but they're buying, a gang member's not going on Facebook to try to buy a gun.
Yeah, they are.
But they're,
it's a private group, man. Nobody knows about it.
But less likely so. I mean,
I don't know. Your gang members, your street gang members are not the smartest people in the neighborhood. It's a rule of thumb.
But that's my point, is that so they would use the traditional means of, hey, I know a guy. Whereas these are the people who came up with this. I mean, the sheer fact that it took 2 years isn't the Chicago police are stupid. It's that whoever came up with this is a genius, because it is this network. It's not like cell phones you can trace and
right.
get records for. It's not like that. This is, Facebook has privacy policies. It's built right in. No, they can't search this.
You know what we need? We need a company called Shoot. And it should be spelled S-H-E-W-T. Right? Shoot.
And it sounds German.
And what you do is you go on Facebook and you tell them what guns they want, and then they come over and sell you the guns.
That is a horrible idea.
That's a great idea. I'm gonna start that company.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever
No background checks, no questions asked. You tell us what kind of guns you want, we're bringing them over. Isn't this what Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and everybody else is doing?
I knew there was a reason you were making it sound German.
Yeah, but isn't this what everybody else is doing right now? Like, is somebody in Silicon Valley sitting there saying, you know, there's a business model here?
Well, I personally think that this is, and I'm sure.
I'm trademarking Shoot after the show, just so you know.
Oh, good, because I think someone's going to steal that.
Someone might. That's good.
For a second, I thought you were serious. And then I was like, nah, I told you, I'm tired. And please pardon me, listeners. I think one of my crowns is loose. That's why I have like a slight sexy lisp. No, it's not a sexy lisp. It's like all my teeth haven't grown in and I'm six lisp.
I think it's because you've been drinking that, what's that drink they like down in the South?
That sweet tea?
No. No, sweet tea is good, but it's a
bathtub gin?
No, I can't ever remember what's in it, but it's like everybody drinks it.
Is it a boozy drink or a
I think it
drink?
Is.
Drink they like in the South. All
yeah.
I can think is bathtub gin and sweet tea.
No. It's like a traditional, like old school Southern drink.
That's really going to bother me.
It's, God, what am I thinking of? What's the stuff that you pour all the wine into?
Sangria?
Like wine and fruit. Like sangria, I think.
Jungle juice?
No.
Because that's everyone in every college everywhere.
This is utterly failing. This is completely
failing. It's going to come to you at like 10:30 when you're driving
home. I need it to come to you and it's utterly failing.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Hey, 855-915-WMFO.
No.
Does anyone know what the hell Derek's talking
about?
No,
the answer to the question is sassafras, and I'm not
sarsaparilla.
No, sarsaparilla, that'll do too.
Sassafras is like nonsense. That's what I think sassafras.
No, isn't sassafras like a drink?
No, I think it's just nonsense. Sarsaparilla is a drink. It's like what cowboys drank that wasn't, if they didn't want beer, they could have a sarsaparilla.
The lisp isn't pronounced enough for me to make that work. See, that's what I'm looking for. And it's
well, that's why solicitation was a difficult word for me to say today. Solicitation.
Anyway.
Solicitation.
Back on track, because I think we're supposed to be doing something meaningful here.
Oh, yeah. People are listening to us, aren't they?
Yes.
All right.
So,
hey guys.
I understand. Look, if you're breaking the law, I got no use for you breaking the law. Okay.
Well, and here's the thing, too.
Why aren't they going after, why don't you arrest some Facebook executives instead of arresting these low-level, likely harmless gun runners, as harmless as a gun runner is going to be, and say, hey, you are enabling crime in our town.
Well, here's the thing, and that was going to be my next point, so thank you for leading me to it. This is obviously a fairly new practice, like a fairly new innovation in the crime world, but this, even if this, yeah, okay, $4,100 in guns and $105,000. Why can't I say that? In drugs. Yeah, that's nothing. It's like, I mean, that's a blip on the radar.
You know, there's
overall.
Like one dude selling that much stuff in the alley on a Saturday night.
I do, but that's a blip overall. But this sets a precedent. This is an example. That's why, like, when they were talking about it, the interim superintendent made a point to say, hey, Facebook, you dummies, like, this is what your privacy rules are enabling.
Right. So go arrest some Facebook executives.
But this is, I mean, but you can't just go and say, you can't just, without having this, having laid the groundwork for it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say, hey, I think that they're allowing crime to happen on Facebook. Let's immediately go attack the Facebook executives. So you can't do that. It has to be like, here, look, we have proof. Look at all these people
we
arrested.
But they do, because they've arrested these people. So take all of that evidence.
That's what I'm saying. Now they do.
Because here's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing, like, you know.
Like, that's the whole point. Now they have something to go to the Facebook executives with, like, hey, guys, you're idiots.
I'm picturing, like, 60 guys, you know, who look like Steve Urkel, like, you know, sitting around like, hey.
I really want to see these guys' mugshots, just because it has been boggling my mind. Like, are they a bunch of nerds like me, or are they a bunch of thugs like me in 2003?
Yeah. No, but what I'm picturing is a bunch of guys who look like Steve Urkel sitting around going, hey, thug life, you know, we're selling drugs, we're gun dealers.
I just call myself a thug, you know what I mean, trashy.
And it's like,
people.
You guys are a bunch of idiots. Congratulations on figuring this out, but you're a bunch of idiots. But take the evidence and go arrest the leader of the local Facebook Chicago office.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? You're facilitating crime in our city. Let your folks out in California come get you out of here.
Well, and I was going to say, that's what I'm saying, is that they couldn't do that without having done this first. And it's going to be the same for...
I think you can.
You can, but they wouldn't have as strong of a case. It's just like we were
sure
talking.
You would. You got the evidence either way. It's like,
how
look,
do you have the evidence if you can't, if you don't infiltrate the Facebook groups, if you don't,
all right,
if you don't have, if you don't go through the trouble to confirm that this is happening rather than just suspect it.
All right, fine. Let your Steve Urkel drug kingpin go now that you've arrested him, and go arrest some Facebook people. That's how you fix this. You need to arrest them.
Yeah. Why do you have to let the Steve Urkel Facebook guy go, though? He still broke the law.
He's selling $100,000 worth of drugs. I mean, come on.
What if it's heroin?
Come on.
What if it's heroin? That's a buttload of heroin. Heroin's cheap.
That wouldn't supply the Boston Public Schools for a 3-day weekend.
That's not saying much, because you know, they have a pretty high consumption rate.
And Chicago's a way bigger city than Boston is.
Chicago's not that much bigger.
Yeah,
than
it is. Chicago's huge compared to us.
Are they?
Yeah.
I always think of them as just cleaner, friendlier Boston.
No, Chicago's a huge, like, Chicago's an entire, like, region at this point. 2.7 million people. That's in, that's within the city limits. When you start getting outside, it gets bigger than
that.
Oh,
yeah. We are, like, a third the size of them.
Yeah. Like, Chicago is huge.
Why did I think we were bigger than that? We're smaller than San Francisco, too.
We are.
That's what came up on my Google. That wasn't just me randomly being like, hey, San Francisco.
But here's the thing. You've got to, if the Chicago police want to get serious about this, and I think they should.
And I think they
do. It's a legitimate issue.
Want to.
Go arrest Facebook executives.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure, like, honestly, I don't think this is the last we're going to be hearing about. I don't think this is like, okay, we did this and we made fun of Facebook for it and now that's it. I don't think that's what this, I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about this in the coming months.
Because nothing terrifies the C-suite quite like the possibility of actual prison time for something like drug dealing.
Yeah.
Where the prosecutors are going to sit
there.
Because
That's not like taking information without permission or whatever. Like, that's like...
Where the prosecutors are going to sit there...
He was more disappointed.
Yeah.
Was he?
And they're going to say... and they're going to say...
Derek.
You're going to Joliet. Have fun in Joliet.
I'm guessing that's the prison in Chicago?
Have fun in Joliet with the rest of the drug dealers. And the executives are going to be like, no.
Oh, my God. I like my butthole the size it is.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Your Boston 5-day forecast. Better than the last 3 days.
I was
going
to say, how bad could it be compared to what we just did?
No more 3-day snowstorms coming in the near future. Clouds tonight, lows around freezing, so everything will ice up again. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs in the low 40s. We fall back below freezing tomorrow night. There may be a rain or brief snow shower near you tonight. Don't panic. Friday. Snow in the afternoon, snow showers, nothing on accumulation yet. High in the upper 30s, lows in the mid 20s Friday night. Saturday, mostly sunny, high of freezing. So we're going to be cold on Saturday. Lows in the teens Saturday night. Then Sunday, going out to Gillette, highs in the mid 30s, lows around freezing. And then Monday, we get some rain and highs in the 50s. So, do not despair if you're looking for the White Christmas, because potentially have some options
it's
for that.
Looking more and more White Christmassy.
Potentially have some options for that. We don't have the big balmy summer break coming our way anytime soon. But you know what we do have coming our way, Chase Mullane?
What at?
It is WMFO Donations Drive.
Donations Drive.
It is that time of the year when we get on our hands and knees and open our mouths and beg for you to keep this station on the air. No, the station stays on the air either way.
Don't tell them that, Derek. Come on, sell it.
But the thing is, running WMFO costs money.
It does.
And when you send us money, here's what happens. We take that money and we turn it into fabulous things like this digital control board that I'm using, like our website, like our app, like our web stream, all the different ways that we have to reach
you. Maybe a new chair or two, since most of ours have many a hole in them.
Yeah. Well, the chairs are fine. But it's because the thing is, the listeners don't care about the chairs.
That's true.
The listeners
care
about...
But they care about us being comfortable.
They care... No, they don't. They really don't.
Do you guys care about us being...
No.
No, they don't.
There could be
they
someone...
They really don't, do they?
There could be someone in the corner poking you with a sharpened bamboo stick and nobody would care.
No, we fired that guy.
I know. Because he wasn't poking people hard enough.
That stick wasn't even sharp.
That, and he wanted $20 an hour. It's really not worth that kind of money.
And that's $20 more than we make.
So, it is. So if you like listening to WMFO and all the different ways that you can listen to WMFO, sending us a little bit of money, we're not asking for a lot here, sending us a little bit of money is a great way to keep all that stuff up and running. We have server bills to pay. We have domains that require money. Everything.
The streaming service.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything that makes it possible for you to be listening to us so easily right now.
So, and to show you our appreciation, we do have thank you gifts.
I was going
to
say, you get some swag.
So, and this is streamlined. We remember that list that used to go on for like half an hour? It was so streamlined this year. So here's what you get.
I kind of liked that list.
Donate $5, you get a WMFO bumper sticker. Brian Joyce, my former co-host, who now does Morning Drive down in Tennessee.
Chattanooga.
Was in town over the weekend. And he said, of all of the radio bumper stickers that he's seen, WMFO's is one of the best.
Oh, yeah. It's a really, it's a very attractive bumper sticker. Like the font, the whoever designed it put some thought into
They've
that.
Locked them up and hidden them from me, so I can't get at them.
I was going to say, it feels weird that your new car doesn't have one.
I'm driving a car with no MFO sticker on it.
That's always how I'm like, oh, Derek's gotten to the station because there's the WMFO mobile.
And of course,
no dice.
My small white car looks like every other small white car in the parking lot, and I don't have that distinguishing feature anymore. Mm. So I keep trying to get into some guy's Volkswagen. Sorry, whoever you are. Put a WMFO bumper sticker on your car, and then you'll never get rid of me. So send us $5, you get a sticker. $10, you get the WMFO button. Look, you can ask for a couple of stickers instead of the button. The button's not bad, but it's like it's a button. For $10, $10, you get the button. $30, we will send you a WMFO t-shirt. Those are nice. Please note your shirt
size.
And
how much is that?
That's for a $30 donation.
Word.
For $50, you get the WMFO coffee mug. Even I don't have one of those. I don't even have the WMFO coffee mug.
Mm.
And for $100, you get a PSA with your voice. So you get to come in here and record a PSA.
That is pretty dope.
For $100. What we don't have...
If I didn't already speak on this show for 2 hours every week, I mean, I might scrounge up $100 to do that.
What we don't have
Can you choose what the PSA is for?
I would imagine you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, this is some power you're going to win.
So, you know what?
You can be like James Brown on my favorite PSA.
If there is a cause that you love, that you want to promote, send $100 our way.
Yeah.
You can come in and record a PSA for any organization that you want.
Oh, within reason.
Yeah.
We're not going to, we're not going to promote Al-Qaeda or anything
on
here.
Yeah, if your cause is ISIS or the Aryan Brotherhood, please do not send us $100.
I don't know why Al-Qaeda was the first one in my brain.
We're not recording PSAs for those groups. Yeah. But if you were...
Ones that we can play without all the phone lines lighting up.
Yeah. If your group is Rescue the Squirrels, hey, we'll do a PSA for Rescue
the
Squirrels.
Are the squirrels in trouble?
They might be.
Apparently, if someone pays $100, they'll have the chance to tell us about it.
The squirrels get up to a decent amount of mischief, and, maybe the squirrels need our help.
There is a distinct possibility.
The lean season is coming for them.
It is, but hopefully they've been storing nuts very well. Have you ever heard that Sarah Silverman joke?
Yeah, they've been storing them in my lawn, and if I find the squirrel that's doing it, he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
They don't know where 75% of the nuts they hide are hidden, and that's how trees are made. Mind explosion. I learned that from Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, it's because squirrels are idiots.
But they
deserve your love.
Yes.
So you send us $100, you get to make a PSA. Now, what we don't have is the options we've had in the past where, like, you send $2,000, you get to have dinner with the executive board, or $5,000 to put your name on a plaque. But in keeping with tradition, I don't know what the total that we're trying to raise here is. It's usually around 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
If you send us $10,000, you can take this show off the air.
You know that that's my least favorite thing that you say all year, right?
I know. But if you hate...
Because there's going to be somebody out there that either passionately hates me or passionately hates you. Hating both of us is impossible.
If you know someone that loathes this radio program, $10,000 and we will never darken your door ever again. Over. Done. We're gone.
I picture it and I get a slight tear in my eye, Derek.
Go to WMFO.org and click on the Donate tab. You will fill out the Donations Drive Google form and follow the link at the bottom of the form to the Tufts Giving page to make your monetary contribution. You can find out more on the how to donate to WMFO on the Tufts Giving page, which is right next to the link. If you go to the page, there is a link that explains everything that you need to do here. So go to WMFO.org, click the Donate tab, donate to WMFO. 10 grand, you take us off the air.
But you don't have to donate 10 grand. It can be like 9,999. That'd be fine.
No, 10 grand. Not a penny less than 10 grand.
Stop saying it.
10 grand. Take us off the air. That hasn't come in yet. So we will be back right after this here on WMFO Medford. One of my very, very favorite Christmas songs of all time.
You're bringing it to us right now?
It's coming up.
Woody woot.
It's coming up in just a minute. I got to get the PSA in first.
Speaking of PSAs.
And then, one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time, Pearl Bailey with The Perfect Gift.
Is this going to be on your Christmas battle?
No, because it's already been used.
Oh, that's right. You can't. no repeats.
Pearl Bailey with the perfect gift for everybody on your holiday list here on WMFO Medford.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Santa Claus, you want to make me happy this year? Listen to me, honey. Give Pearl something that'll be of some use to me, like a 5-pound box of money. Now, there's a little gift. It's loaded with lots of sentiment. See, whenever I get blue, Santa, I'm going to think of you. But at the same time, that will change to pay my rent, you see? Now, money isn't everything. There's no two ways about it. But while we're here, Santa dear, is much better with than without it. So, really, I could be real good and not do nothing funny. If you do like I ask you, stop me right on Christmas night. Try me on that money. Just try me, honey. Santa, can you hear me? You listen to everything I'm asking about? But listen, honey, Santa dear, the new year, oh, it would be so bright and sunny. Just bring me that little simple thing I've been speaking to you about. Like that, maybe a 5-pound box of money. That's all. It would be so heavenly and help me meet both ends. Yes, indeed. What old Pearl really needs is a 5-pound box of tin. How much can it weigh? I ask you, how much? I don't want the whole money tree. What good is that big thing to me? You keep the branches. You can keep the trunk and the root. Because all that I want is just a little bit of the fruit. So you want to be sure, I'll be your little old honey bunny. You try me, start me off on Christmas night with a 5-pound. No, I better increase that. Make it 10 pounds. No, I better put in a good bag while I'm begging, because, I mean, I'll catch you next year. You know, people go out and sometimes you don't see them no more, so bring the money. Santa, can you hear me? Bring me some money. Oh,